Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How are the last couple days? You feel like you're just kind of finding your swing late in the spring?
Honestly, I feel like I've had my swing most of spring. I mean, I feel like my timing is just getting better. I'm getting more equipped to start hitting pitching, you know. You get later in the season, your swing starts to get more consistent and better, and your approach gets a little better too. So I feel like I'm just developing into the season at this point.
To do what you did against the pitcher that caliber, does that do anything?
I mean, I'm not like being self-centered, but that's what I should do. You know, I should have a good AB. You know, be ready to swing, be ready to hit. You know, they come at you. So he came at me with the fastball, and I was ready to go. I'm not gonna talk anything bad on his name. Like, he's a great pitcher, but I was ready to go at that point.
So that was Jackson Merrill after the game today. After he hit a home run off of Zach Gallen. What are you laughing about, Tony?
He said, I'm not going to put bad on his name, but I was ready to go. Jackson, let me tell you, brother, you do not have to give the disclaimer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, your job is to bust his you-know-what, and that's what you did. Homer. That's what I'm talking about. You don't need to apologize. He knows. If he was punching you out, he'd be like, yeah, good hitter, but made a good pitch there. You know, had to do what I had to do.
So how could what
I appreciate that comes from a good place. Like,
yes,
he's not
does.
Trying to be like disrespectful or anything like that, but
you can tell he's a good dude.
Yeah, we know that. We get a chance to see him on an everyday basis, so I'm happy for him.
When you talk to him, do you get the sense that he's 20 years old?
I mean, yes, because I'm 40, so you know, I do get the sense that he's pretty young.
Okay.
On the field, though, is what you're talking about.
And,
no, you don't get the sense that he, in a lot of ways, and I don't want everybody to, like, jump out the window on this. In a lot of ways, he reminds me of Fernando in terms of handling all that's being thrown at him and it not looking overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? Like, he looks like he belongs. It literally took him, like, a couple ABs to kind of, like, loosen up, and then boom, he's been good ever since. Like, I'd say it was 3 ABs it took him, and then ever since then, he looks like a big leaguer.
Well, he's my new favorite Padre, gotta say.
He's a big leaguer, too, so.
He is a big leaguer, because here, let's hear from Mike Schill. He was with the media earlier today, and they asked about Jackson Merrill and whether or not he's going to Korea. Here it is.
Can you just tell us that Jackson Merrill is going to be on the team?
I can tell you Jackson Merrill is going to Korea. That's what I can tell you, Ace.
Not that he'll be starting in center field on the 20th.
You said it.
Okay. What? Obviously, this guy's had a lot of hard outs. He has played really well. What do you see in the last, few days, especially with the 2 home runs, 1 off Zach Gallen?
Look, he's earned every spot. He's earned his way on the plane. He's earned what's coming after the plane. So he's done a great job, and couldn't be happier for him. You know, clearly swung the bat well, played good defense. Ran the base as well, you know, plays with a lot of heart, energy, passion, plays smart. Just a lot to like about Jackson Merrill, so good for him.
Right. That was Mike Schill with Kevin Acey.
There's a valuable lesson for everybody. Big leaguers know what they're looking at. I take you back to the beginning of spring training where I believe it was Toddy. Basically, it was like, this guy knows how to play baseball. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he
called this earlier. In the same way that Manny and Haas saw it in Toddy when he came. And the first day, like, this dude needs to be on our team, like, pronto, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a way it looks, and Jackson Looks like it. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to stay this way. We all hope that it not only stays this way, but it starts to do this, take off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But there's no guarantees. He's got to continue to develop in some areas. But certainly what you've seen now, can't be mad at.
The Beef says, once Toddy said he's got it, I was in. Prolific says Merrill is going to do his thing. I would like to remind everyone that he is still 20 years old, and it is okay to be excited about him, but if he struggles,
let's not jump off the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
He's going to struggle at some point.
Yes.
Hopefully it's the type
of
struggle.
Time.
Yeah, hopefully it's the type of struggle where he's like been hitting 380 all year and then he struggles a little bit. Like,
he's hitting 364.
He's hitting like 360, you know. Hopefully it's one of them struggles. But usually, you know, guy gets off to a hot start. It usually takes a plunge downwards.
Yeah.
You usually can tell by how quickly they can stop the bleeding. And stop the bleeding doesn't mean all of a sudden they start rocketing back up, but they just kind of tread in water.
Yeah.
And then, you know, gradually you start to see it get better. That's, you know, that's probably the one of the outcomes you could be happy with.
Tyler says he will skid during the season like any player, but I think his upside is huge even for coming up this early. And the Beef weighs in again. He will struggle at some point. That will be his true test, and I think he has the mind to get through it.
I agree with that. I think he does have the mind. But, you know, like Mike Tyson said, you got to plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Side note, are you going to be watching Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fight?
Yes, I am.
You're very excited about this.
I want to see Mike Tyson pummel Jake Paul.
See, that's why I don't think it's going to happen. Jake Paul seems like a guy who controls the situation very well.
I'm just saying. I know this dude is like 50 plus years old,
yeah,
but it's actually the first actual boxer.
Yeah.
Actual boxer.
He hasn't actually fought a boxer. I thought he fought, he never ended up fighting Floyd Mayweather, which was crazy.
Which would have been a pummeling.
Yes, it would have.
Well, you know what? At least Floyd would have entertained us. He would have, like, carried it to, like, 8 rounds like he did with McGregor before he put him down.
That is true. I mean, they really did
I don't think Mike can do that. I only think, like, if he lands, the dude was just training, like, last year. We saw clips of him almost take out his trainer.
Yeah.
I know Jake Paul has proven to actually be a pretty good boxer, in my opinion. Like, I mean, I don't know if he's professional good, but he's only lost one of these bad boys.
Hmm. I guess I will watch it for the train wreck factor, seeing what happens.
If Mike Tyson knocks this dude out.
Oh, it will be one of the most replayed clips of the year.
It's like the 50-year-old got you, man. The 50-plus-year-old. Because I think Mike's older than 50, actually.
Yeah, he's got to be. Side note, I forgot. I want to get this in before you go to Korea. This was a chat that we got earlier today. I'm going to put it up on the screen. But from Sailor P saying, Tony, you got to eat the street food while you're in Korea. It's the best in the world. Find some hotok. It's a Korean pancake, and you will love it. That sounds delicious, actually.
Well, Sailor P, I plan on eating some of the street food. My wife and I have been talking about it. I think Jesse and his wife Tova have been talking about it. So we're looking forward to this.
Jesse doesn't strike me as an adventurous eater, and I don't know this.
I disagree. Adventurous? I don't know if I'm looking for adventurous. I'm just looking for, you know,
I feel like Korean street food is adventurous.
I mean, I you hear a lot of good things about the street food in Korea, though. Like, it's
I know, yeah.
So, I mean, now you got me questioning this, Scraby. I need you to stop ruining it for me.
No, you were fine. I remember, I think.
I know, but now I'm thinking about it. Like,
no,
oh,
don't,
man,
don't think
is,
about it.
It is adventurous. I don't want to get sick in Korea.
No, if you get a pancake, it's not really adventurous. But Jesse didn't eat in Mexico last year.
And it served him very well, I might tell you.
Montezuma's revenge got everyone.
It did not treat me very well.
The food
was good, though.
Yeah. Dave Marcus didn't eat it either, so good for him.
They didn't have the problems I had, so they were good.
Yeah. Back to baseball. That was a quick little side note. Drew Thorpe pitched today, and he actually ended his spring training with 7 innings pitched, no runs, 3 hits, and 3 outings. Sammy Lev caught up with him after the game to ask him about his spring.
what have you made of this whole camp and kind of the way
AJ Kessler?
I just came in, you know, excited for the opportunity and being around the guys and just trying to come in and learn as much as I can and just compete. I mean, obviously, there's some openings and stuff, but I wasn't really, you know, thinking into that too much. Just came in ready to compete and do what I know I can do, and thought camp went really well, and I've learned a lot, so it's been great so far.
What did you make of today's outing? What was working for you specifically?
I didn't feel like it was very good, but results speak otherwise, obviously. You'll take four scoreless all the time, and, you know, it's good to have that now, kind of learning how to pitch with, you know, not your best stuff. Once you get into season, you're hardly ever going to have your best stuff when you get out there, so just kind of being able to compete and get outs when you don't have your best stuff is what's going to make or break you, basically, in the big league. So
that was Drew Thorpe. It was AJ Kessler.
My guy said, I thought I was terrible today. It had four Shetty. I like that. I don't know about you, but I'm a fan of feeling like you were terrible and throwing up zeros. I think I'm a big fan of that, actually.
That means that you have high standards for yourself, and B, that means that you are willing to keep working.
So let's talk about this. Since we're talking about pitching, let's talk about this. We haven't talked about the bullpen. Who's
the arm
in,
barn,
who's out?
The arm barn.
The arm barn.
You guys have to use that this year.
Do you have
year.
A paper? Do you have some paper with you?
Sure.
Yes. Can you get some paper? Let's map out the pitchers. And wait, so there's how many guys are going?
31 are, I believe it's 31.
Can go,
yes. Can get on that plane as a player.
But but normally we're talking 26 men,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Roster.
Yes.
So we're thinking what?
Are we doing rotation or just the arm bar?
No, we'll go rotation and we'll go all pitchers. So we got 12, 13 pitchers?
Yeah.
12?
So we got Darvish, we know that. We got
Darvish, Joe.
We know that.
Yes.
We got Michael King, we know that.
Yes. You got, for sure, Suarez. Put him a little bit further down so he's in the bullpen.
Okay.
We don't know about Matsui. We know Matsui will be on the team, but we don't know if he's going to be healthy to start the year. So leave him out for now.
Okay.
You got Wilson for sure.
Oh, Steven Wilson. Man, yep. He's been pretty quiet. I haven't really heard much about him.
Nope. He's been out there, though. You definitely got Wandy Peralta.
Oh, yeah. He's been great.
He's in there.
You have, who else do you have? Why am I blanking?
De Los Santos.
Yes.
He's in there.
You also have, gosh, why am I blanking
Burrito.
On all the pitchers right now? Burrito. Is he a starter, though?
We don't know. So I think ultimately Burrito, Vasquez, you already said King, right?
Yes.
I think those two are on there. Remember, the Padres only need two starters for the first four games.
Yeah. True. What about, we're on the chat, well, Tom Cosgrove. He's going to make
Cosgrove,
the team.
Cosgrove, on there.
Matt Waldron.
Hold up.
Okay.
How many we got right now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay.
We need two starters and...
Wait, we need two starters? I thought you got King, Vasquez, and Brito.
Oh, so we're putting Vasquez and Brito up there. All right, we're done with the starters.
There.
So we just got the relievers left. Let me.
So who are the relievers you got right there?
Mr. Go?
I don't know.
You don't know if Mr. Go? I feel like Mr. Go, well, you've been there. Has he pitched well enough to make this team?
I think he's on the team. His performance hasn't been great. He's got a 12.46 ERA. Now, he's been good the last couple times, but his command was a little bit off in a couple appearances. So we'll put Go on there.
Okay.
That's 11.
Yes, I'm looking. Okay, now I'm to the pitching.
Let's say Matsui's on there.
What about Estrada?
Let's say Matsui's on there. That's 12.
Okay. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Position players, you got 9 plus what? 3 bench guys.
So that's 12 plus 12 is 24. So you can
so we
have
got two
more
spots.
Avila?
No, I don't think he's on there.
Okay.
You know who I think's got a chance?
Who?
Is Sandridge.
I
the lefty. The,
can't
the
say
one.
I've heard that name.
Javian Sandridge. He's the kid that was on a professional team. COVID hit, was released. He took advantage of an obscure rule that says you can go back to school non-D1. He ends up getting drafted there.
Wow.
He's pitched lights out in his three innings of work.
All right.
He's a lefty. I think he's a dark horse. Got an outside shot.
So you said his name's Sandridge?
Javion Sandridge.
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 Okay, good. I spelled it that way. We also have Festa Carpenter. Those are some other guys that have pitched this.
But you know, right? Who's not on there is Morty Holmes not on there?
True. Do you think he's going to make it?
I don't know. I don't know how they're going to use him. Are they using him as a starter? Using him as a reliever?
And not. I guess these guys don't necessarily have to be on the roster, as you said, for the first two games of the year.
Opening day is a snapshot in time. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it could change.
But I like that. It's a snapshot of time.
I mean, I know we make a big deal. I mean, as a player, I made a huge deal about it. Everybody does. It's a pretty sweet day. But it is just one game. And everything goes back to normal after that. It's like regular baseball.
All right. I got three names for you before we head to break. Drew Thorpe, we just heard from him. He's probably going to start off the team, right?
He's going to be in the minors.
I've got this name, Mazur. Mazur? Mazur? Is that his name? Adam Mazur?
Mazur?
M-A-Z-U-R?
I mean, he in the invitees? Let me look in the invitees list.
The one?
Oh, Adam Mazur.
Mazur.
Yes.
Stupid scrapey.
I think you said that. I just didn't put a face to the name.
Oh.
No, don't think so.
Last one, Jairo.
He's a young guy. He's a young guy. He's just got drafted 2 years ago. I think
he's 22.
Part of the plan moving forward, but I don't think he makes his team.
What about Iriarte? He's also very young.
Yeah, no, he's not making the team either. He's already been sent down.
Oh, well, that takes care of that.
Yeah.
There are going to be some surprises on this roster.
Could be. Could be for sure. All right, let's get to break because we are beyond our time. Scrappy, what are we talking about when we come back?
I have a list of the top MLB The Show players and their ratings, and so we're going to go through it, see if we agree.
I know someone
about
who's
it.
A diamond.
A diamond?
Diamond player. Got the diamond package.
Oh.
They pass those out. Remember, they go by each team.
Oh,
they
I
give
did
them
not
to,
know this.
Oh, you're not a real.
I'm not. Well, this is my first year with the show.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that when we get back. But first,
there's some traffic.
Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Scraby here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. out there in Peoria. He is actually, as we speak, packing up his little humble abode because once he leaves tomorrow, he's not coming back to Arizona. So if you're watching on the stream and you just see an empty camera, that's why. He's somewhere in there. Oh, he's running back. Here he is. Here he is. He's running back as fast as he can. He's back on. What's up, Tony?
We have some more sound, don't we?
Some more sound?
Yeah. For my show? No? What are we doing? What did you say you wanted to do again?
Oh, no. We were going to do the MLB The Show ratings, and you were talking about the diamond player.
Yes. I saw earlier in the spring, Toddy was presented with his Diamond.
So it's the best player on your team, like ratings-wise?
Best players. I think there was, I know there was multiple last year. I know Manny was there. Both of them got one last year. And I think there was three last year because Soto was on there.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Here are the Padres' top five players in MLB The Show 24, according to their ratings. And the top player is Fernando Tatis Jr., 92 overall. Then you have Manny Machado, 91. Ha-Seong Kim, all the way up to third with 87 overall rating.
Dang, we should go back and look what his rating was going into last season. Guarantee you it wasn't in the 80s.
No, not even close. Joe Musgrove comes in number four, 84 overall, and Xander Bogaerts, 84 overall. So those are the top five Padres. The top rated player in the game.
That's Ohtani.
Of course it's Ohtani, but you shouldn't be able to rank him for this year, or rank him that high because he can't pitch.
He's still really good.
All right. Ronald Acuna Jr. is also a 99. There's five 99ers here, and Mike Trout comes in at 99. Now, his injury rating has to be like 100 because he gets injured every single game. So I don't know how he's 99, but of course I know how he's 99. He's really good at baseball, but it did surprise me. That he's
if
99.
He stays healthy, he'll remind everybody.
Why he's 99?
Yes.
I was last week... During the Scraby Show, they were showing the Angels and the Dodgers, and they showed a shot of Mike Trout and Shohei on the field talking before the game, and I couldn't help but just feel like Mike Trout has to feel so lonely with the Angels. Like, that's got to be a terrible feeling knowing that the best player in baseball just left your team for the other team.
He might not be lonely for that much longer. I keep seeing Blake teasing. Seems like everybody's insinuating Angels could be on the horizon.
Why?
Yeah, you'd have to ask Blake that.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't think... Also, Anthony Rendon got hurt, and the internet was not kind to him for the Angels, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure the internet's...
Back to the ratings.
Couldn't wait till that happened.
And the article titles were, Anthony Rendon doesn't care about baseball, so he got hurt. Of course he did.
That sounds like a Sports Illustrated AI-generated title
there. The fourth player, Aaron Judge, he is ranked 99 in the game, which makes sense. Mookie Betts is also the last 99er in the game. Corey Seager, 98. Spencer Strider, 97. Austin
really?
Riley.
They couldn't give Corey that one more point? I mean,
yeah, what is he lacking? he doesn't get one more.
What is the piece that keeps him off of the 99?
That's a good question. Spencer Strider, 97. Austin Riley, 96. Yordan Alvarez, 96. Matt Olson, 95. And then Garrett Cole might not be pitching this year. Who knows? He's also at 95. So there you go. All of those players. Now, let me see if I can quickly find what Ha-Seong Kim rating was in 2023.
I'm going to say 78.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it. Well, here's an article. Here we go. Show Zone, it's what it's called. Oh, this is not true. It says he has a 99. That's definitely not it.
That's crazy. We got to check your search engine. Do you always get these weird websites that just be making up stuff?
It's
all
actually,
the time?
You know, because I use Microsoft Edge so that I'm the only one who is logging in, but it's not working. Bing is not a good search engine. Okay, I think I found it now. This seems really high, too, for last year, but it says 2023, 85 overall. And it calls him a second baseman.
I think that was right, though. I think that's right.
85,
if I
really?
Think about it, yeah. I think he was 85.
Is it because he could play all over the field? Because the Padres, he was 87? Anyway. There you go.
They consistently, you know, and the games now, they update these guys like every week. So, I mean, I wonder what he started at going into 2023.
That is a good question. Because he probably was lower. Tyler's saying 83. Anthony says, squeezing Bing, LMAO. I just use it because it's the Microsoft Edge browser. Because this is the only, and I'm not complaining about this because it makes it easier to use, but this is the only job I've ever had where I don't log into a computer, so all of our passwords are just everywhere on this thing. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing right here. Ha-Seong Kim, 83 overall. Manny got his diamond. All right, everybody's just confirming what we already said, so there we go. That's Boom. MLB The Show. MLB The Show 24 comes out a week from today, and I am very, very excited about it. One last note before we go and we hear from Alden Gonzalez on the other side. Deebo Samuel has changed his number, everybody.
What number has he changed it to?
Well, he's number 19 now, and this is going to really affect all of his social media handles because he's 19 problems, and it is a great number, obviously.
It's a great number.
But he's now number one, and he
I got one problem? That don't sound as good.
No. Like, how are you going to change it from 19 problems?
Just one problem?
Man, life has gotten way better for you, Deebo, if you've only got one problem. But
well, I mean, he was saying 19 problems. Like, that's I'm like a problem on the field. But if you're just one problem, like, I mean...
Oh, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You're pretty simple. Easy to solve. I mean, we got more time. We only got one of you.
He's also changing his last name to
stop it.
Samuel Sr.
You're making a
no,
oh,
no.
Oh, oh, yeah.
Because he had
not
a kid.
Not a fan.
Of the Samuel Sr. thing?
Not a fan of people going back and adding the senior. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I do.
If your son is in the league, cool. Like, so we don't get it confused.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I get it. I'm with you. It's kind of weird to go to number one, but he wore it in college. It just seems like a very self-serving thing for Deebo to be like, you know what? I want to be number one.
No, see, like, you find the weirdest things to,
to be angry about.
To be angry about.
Yeah.
I want to be number one. So what, Scrape? He wants to be number one.
You know, I wanted to be double zero.
Did you have
zero.
A Deebo Samuel jersey?
No, never.
Then you don't get to be mad. Sorry.
All right, good point. Fair enough point. When we get back, we're going to hear from Alvin Gonzalez. He joined the show earlier, and he will break it down. You're going to want to hear what he has to say about Jackson Merrill, because he did not pull any punches, and you're going to be very excited about it. So, Alvin Gonzalez of ESPN, when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, we have sent Tony to Korea, everybody. He is leaving tomorrow, so the next time you hear from Tony Gwynn Jr., we're going to try for Friday. Not sure if they're going to be there in time, if we can connect. But the next time that we hear from him, he will be joining us from South Korea. I am Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr. is actually trying to get to the airport to pick up some people. So he left just a little bit early to make sure that he wasn't late. But never fear, we have Alvin Gonzalez. He's going to break down everything about the Padres. And again, you're going to want to hear what he has to say at the beginning, because Jackson Merrill has taken everyone by storm. And he even had a great line. Because Jackson Holliday is the prospect in all of baseball, I believe, right now. And he is playing for the Orioles. But the line about, I guess I will ruin it right now, but Jackson Merrill is not the Jackson that people should be talking about, is what Alvin Gonzalez said. So I was trying to keep it a secret, and then I realized I was going down the path of letting everybody know. But that's what we'll be hearing from here in just a few minutes. On the Scraby Show tonight, we are going to have the news of the day, of course, and we are also going to, I'm going to tell you, this is not like a hard-hitting story or anything like that, but I saw this tweet earlier, or X post earlier, and it's a picture of someone from 1908, and they played for the Citizens baseball team in Philadelphia, and his nickname, I mean, they just don't make nicknames like they used to. Nicknames used to be nicknames, and now nicknames are, it could be anything really, but this guy had a great nickname, or at least for everybody else, a great nickname. All right. Alvin Gonzalez, ESPN. Keep your ears open for the first part of this interview, because you're going to want to hear it, and then I'll be back with you after the interview.
Alvin Gonzalez, ESPN with us here. Alvin, how are you? Not that long ago, I was just finding out we were doing an interview today.
Yeah, and here I am.
you've been to a camp at an earlier point this year. You're back at it again. You're looking at this Padre ball club, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
I mean, seemingly has pretty much locked up that center field position. By the way he's performed at camp, it seems like the Padres are more than willing to let him go out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw him take Zach Gallen deep to the opposite field. Looked pretty good. Second home run in as many days. Interestingly enough, I talked to a scout at the game today who had been following the Padres around for a while. And I know this sounds like hyperbole, and I don't want to get people like all excited, but he literally told me, he's like, everybody's talking about Jackson Holliday, but Jackson Merrill is the one who looks super locked in right now. He told me that... His defense in center field has been fine. He's been fine, passable,
yeah.
which is
yeah.
I mean, you can't expect more than that from a guy who's literally never played the position. But his bat is what's very intriguing. And look, I mean, who knows what will happen when the lights come on? But if you were looking for positive signs from a guy who, based on your depth chart, you need to take on that role, I don't think the Padres could have asked for anything more.
You know, Alden, I've been looking at this Padre club with a, you know, with kind of a crooked glance all spring, just because, you know, they're going to be relying on so many unproven guys when the opening day bell rings. But the more we've seen these guys, I mean, you know, we just talked about Jackson, but Graham Pauly's looked good. Tyler Wade has looked good. And, you know, some of these young guys have really, really performed well, as Ocar. And I started thinking, in the last few years, and I think you'd probably have a better handle on this, but it seems to me in the last few years, younger guys are making bigger impacts earlier than they ever have before. And I wonder what you think the reason for that is, and whether you think, you know, the Padres might be okay with a bunch of unproven guys.
Well, I think no organization is more emblematic of trusting young players before other people think they're ready than the Padres. We saw it with Tatis. We saw it with Chris Paddock. I believe it was the same spring. We're seeing that with Jackson Merrill. We might eventually see that with Ethan Salas. Like, they're not shy. But yeah, I was in Florida before I came out to Arizona. And I hadn't been in the Orioles clubhouse for a while. And I saw Jackson Holliday. And he looked 12 years old to me. Like, I couldn't believe how young he looked. But he plays like a grown-up. And he's going to be the Orioles' everyday second baseman. He might vie for the Rookie of the Year, just like Gunnar Henderson did, and just like Adley Rutschman did before him. I think big picture, and Tony could speak to this, but I just think it is true that guys are ready sooner. I think a lot of that has to do with the resources that are available at the amateur level, even right now. Kids play, and this is a good and a bad thing, but kids play baseball year-round. Parents specialize their kids in baseball at an early age. Like, there are kids in this country are getting, like, very advanced training, going to, like, really expensive showcases, and they're getting basically built to be ready sooner. Some of that's just natural evolution. I've always been one to vouch for kids playing different sports because I just think it's better for development in general. But when you're talking about being ready to play in the big leagues, the kids who are already talented and have resources now that kids even 10 years before them didn't have, yeah, it's going to lead to a lot more 20, 21, 22-year-olds coming up and being ready.
Yeah, it's not just baseball either. Chris, you and I talk about it in football. These guys come into the NFL more ready than ever. At the wide receiver position or some of these other skill positions that it used to be they take a little bit of time to develop. You're seeing that really across all sports. Alden Gonzalez joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. And Alden, you've been all over the place. You're in Florida. I know you got something coming down the pipeline with a Yankee. And then I know you've been over to the evil empire over there and off of Camelback Mountain over there. They also are incorporating some new talent, some pretty good talent. There seem to have been, some question in terms of Yoshinoba, in terms of him tipping pitches. How did that ever turn out to be anything over there?
It's interesting because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony, but I think that there's a lot more of an emphasis on looking for pitchers tipping in the United States in Major League Baseball specifically than there might be in Japan. I read some of those comments when that first surfaced with Yamamoto, and I think it was the Dodgers broadcast that picked it up. At this point, I wouldn't be concerned because, like, if you're catching it early like this, to me, it means that it's pretty easily corrected.
Yeah,
and I would think that he will correct that. I think the bigger story with Yamamoto right now is like he's been wowing people on the Dodgers like since the beginning. Like, it's the stuff, like the way that forcing fastball seems to ride, the darting action on that splitter. like how deceptive it is when he flips this 12 to 6 curveball at you, like every once in a while. The efficiency of the delivery, like it's stunning that a guy that size, like he is my size. I am not a big person. Okay. He has basically what amounts to a slide step. The fact that he could generate that type of velocity with a delivery as efficient as his, that's what I think is the most impressive about Yamamoto so far. I can't wait to see him pitch against major league competition because Mike Colaifenga with the Mets, I think he's going to be really good right away.
Mm.
Alden Gonzalez is with us from ESPN talking some baseball here. And Alden, I was absolutely ecstatic to see a Dodger highlight clip yesterday and maybe the day before. But it was a spring training game, and the guy on the other team hit a high pop-up into the infield between shortstop and second base. And Mookie Betts looked at Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux looked at Mookie Betts, and the ball just dropped right there on the infield. And Dave Roberts was flabbergasted to a certain point in the dugout. My point is, what is going to happen with this Dodger defense? I mean, Gavin Lux was supposed to be shortstop. He's gone to second. Can Mookie really get it done at short? Is that enough to short circuit a little bit of the, you know, the powerhouse that is the Dodgers?
It can be. I mean, look, right now it's a problem. It's not ideal. The Dodgers went into last season with, they were going to give Gavin Lux the runway to be their everyday shortstop. Remember, they passed on Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, and Carlos Correa, and on Dansby Swanson, because they were going to give the reins to Gavin Lux. I think what they've shown, though, is they're not messing around this year. Like, they're in it to win a championship. And you could say that to some extent about every year, but it's different now. You spend more than $1 billion on a couple of free agents. It's different. So the first sign that Gavin Lux was chucking throws and he wasn't accurate, they switched them. And to me, that's very telling. And it's also in some ways a little troubling. Like, look, not to discount anything from Mookie Betts, who is one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. You can't just start playing shortstop, though. Like, will he be adequate at short? Sure. Is he going to be great there? I mean, I think it would be unfair to have any expectation like that. And yeah, there's some very serious concern on the Dodger infield right now. Max Muncy doesn't have the most range. Mookie Betts doesn't have any real experience at shortstop. You told him he was going to be playing second base. You had him prepare to play second base all off season through the early part of spring training. Now all of a sudden, okay, go to shortstop. I do wonder if they're probably trying to add a shortstop.
Yeah.
Would they be hesitant to do that so quickly? Because now you got to tell Mookie Betts again that he's switching to the other position. You don't want to mess with a star player like that. And look, Gavin Lux, like every time Gavin Lux has throwing issues, they bring up like the potential yips. He said he doesn't have the yips. He said he's coming off ACL surgery. He's trying to get his feet under him. And it might be something of a mechanical thing. I can buy that. But I can also see how stuff like this can snowball on players. It's kind of a wait-and-see thing. The Dodgers might be so talented that they could overcome that, but it's not great. It's not what they wanted, and like it's kind of a rare instance where like their front office seems to be sort of caught on its heels here a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. Alden Gonzalez joins us. Last one for me, Alden. The Padres did trade Juan Soto to the New York Yankees. He's having a monster spring so far. But it does seem like there's some of the old ghosts are still around in that camp. All of a sudden, Gerrit Cole needs an MRI.
Yeah.
He's unlikely to pitch an opening day. You got Aaron Judge, who's still dealing with he just had a clean MRI, but he's still dealing with some aches and pains. I mean, is this team going to be able to stay healthy? I mean, I haven't heard anything about Giancarlo. I'm assuming he's been healthy so far this spring. Is this team going to be able to stay healthy? That seems to be the thing that bites them every single season.
And it's a legitimate concern, Tony, because when you're talking about just sort of like the ages of the players that they're relying so heavily on, what more troubling news could there be at this state of camp that Gerrit Cole, who is their first, second, and third best starting pitcher in that rotation, is now, there's some concerns there. And Aaron Judge, too. I mean, don't forget that the makeup of this team going into the season, because you need to give Giancarlo Stanton all that DH time because you're paying him so much money, had Aaron Judge playing center field.
Right.
They needed Aaron Judge to be a quasi-everyday center fielder for them in order to make it work with Verdugo and Soto and Stanton in the same lineup, which is their preference on both days. Aaron Judge, by the way, coming off turf toe, coming off that that toe injury when he banged up against the wall at Dodger Stadium. Aaron Judge, the most important member of your lineup. He's what, 32 years old right now? Like, that's kind of a precarious position. And, like, he might end up being fine. But I think the news out of Yankee camp lets you know that for all the expectations they're carrying into this season, and people legitimately felt really good about their roster coming in, they are, it's just so fragile. Because if Gerrit Cole has to miss time, if Aaron Judge has to miss time, and you saw what their lineup looked like without Aaron Judge for such a time last year, it could all fall apart for them. It really could.
Real quick, Alden, I think we have a minute or so left, but is it possible that in the end, the Padres got so much pitching that they could almost win or even break even in the Juan Soto trade?
It is possible. I like the arms that they got. I think they feel good about the arms that they got. They're not going to win the Juan Soto trade in 2024. I can tell you that. If Juan Soto stays healthy, I expect him to contend for the MVP. And for as promising as the arms are in the Padres, for the Padres that the Padres got back, I have concerns about their rotation. I have concerns about who's going to lock down innings for them in 2024. You can't expect all those guys to be ready to make the jump to a big league rotation full time. They need starting pitching. But having said that, they did what they needed to do. If they weren't going to re-sign Juan Soto, they can't fit him in their payroll. If he wasn't going to be willing to stay in San Diego anyway, and they needed to get to their payroll to a certain point, and they had all these starting pitching holes that they needed to fill, I think if you evaluate it from that context, they did just fine. But in the immediate, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt every time you see Juan Soto winning player of the month or whatever he's going to do in a Yankee uniform this year.
Yep, no doubt about it. There might be some growing pains, but in the end, I think the Padres did what they had to do. Alden, appreciate you coming on, man.
That was Alden Gonzalez joining us a little bit earlier today. Thank you, Alden. And that was, if you didn't hear the beginning of that interview, it was kind of embarrassing because I texted Alden Gonzalez trying to see if he wanted to come on the show. And he was actually standing with Tony at the moment that I texted him, which is awkward because I usually say, like, depending on who the person is, I usually say, well, Tony asked me to reach out, or Chris asked me to reach out, or both of them asked me to reach out. Well, Tony didn't ask me to reach out, so kind of left him hanging. I did not know he was going to be hanging out with Alden Gonzalez this morning. All right, that's it for Gwynn and Chris. Thank you so much for everyone joining us today. We are going to be back tomorrow, Chris and I. Maybe Chris will be in Las Vegas. Maybe he'll be back. If the Aztec women's basketball team wins, he's staying in Las Vegas. But we will still have lots of Gwynn and Chris here for the rest of the week. But don't forget, Scraby's show is up next. And we're going to talk a lot more about Jackson Merrill. So stay there. I'll be back with you in about 5 minutes on 97.3 The Fan.
Alden Gonzalez, ESPN with us here. Alden, how are you? Not that long ago, I was just finding out we were doing an interview today.
Yeah, and here I am.
you've been to a camp at an earlier point this year. You're back at it again. You're looking at this Padre ball club, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
Has pretty much locked up that center field position. By the way he's performed at camp, it seems like the Padres are more than willing to let him go out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw him take Zach Gallen deep to the opposite field. Looked pretty good. Second home run in as many days. Interestingly enough, I talked to a scout at the game today who had been following the Padres around for a while. And I know this sounds like hyperbole, and I don't want to get people like all excited, but he literally told me, he's like, everybody's talking about Jackson Holliday, but Jackson Merrill is the one who looks super locked in right now. He told me that his defense and center field has been fine. He's been fine, passable, I mean, you can't expect more than that from a guy who's literally never played the position But his bat is what's very intriguing. And look, I mean, who knows what will happen when the lights come on? But if you were looking for positive signs from a guy who, based on your depth chart, you need to take on that role, I don't think the Padres could have asked for anything more.
You know, Alden, I've been looking at this Padre club with a, you know, with kind of a crooked glance all spring, just because, you know, they're going to be relying on so many unproven guys when the opening day bell rings. But the more we've seen these guys, I mean, you know, we just talked about Jackson, but Graham Pauly's looked good. Tyler Wade has looked good. And, you know, some of these young guys have really, really performed well, as Ocar. And I started thinking, in the last few years, and I think you'd probably have a better handle on this, but it seems to me in the last few years, younger guys are making bigger impacts earlier than they ever have before. And I wonder what you think the reason for that is, and whether you think, you know, the Padres might be okay with a bunch of unproven guys.
Well, I think no organization is more emblematic of trusting young players before other people think they're ready than the Padres. We saw it with Tatis. We saw it with Chris Paddock. I believe it was the same spring. We're seeing that with Jackson Merrill. We might eventually see that with Ethan Salas. Like, they're not shy. But yeah, I was in Florida before I came out to Arizona. And I hadn't been in the Orioles clubhouse for a while. And I saw Jackson Holliday. And he looked 12 years old to me. Like, I couldn't believe how young he looked. But he plays like a grown-up. And he's going to be the Orioles' everyday second baseman. He might vie for the Rookie of the Year, just like Gunnar Henderson did, and just like Adley Rutschman did before him. I think big picture, and Tony could speak to this, but I just think it is true that guys are ready sooner. I think a lot of that has to do with the resources that are available at the amateur level, even right now. Kids play, and this is a good and a bad thing, but kids play baseball year-round. Parents specialize their kids in baseball at an early age. Like, there are kids in this country are getting, like, very advanced training, going to, like, really expensive showcases, and they're getting basically built to be ready sooner. Some of that's just natural evolution. I've always been one to vouch for kids playing different sports because I just think it's better for development in general. But when you're talking about being ready to play in the big leagues, the kids who are already talented and have resources now that kids even 10 years before them didn't have, yeah, it's going to lead to a lot more 20, 21, 22-year-olds coming up and being ready.
Yeah, it's not just baseball either. Chris, you and I talk about it in football. These guys come into the NFL more ready than ever. At the wide receiver position or some of these other skill positions that it used to be they take a little bit of time to develop. You're seeing that really across all sports. Alden Gonzalez joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Alden, you've been all over the place. You're in Florida. I know you got something coming down the pipeline with a Yankee. And then I know you've been over to the evil empire over there in Camelback Mountain over there. They also are incorporating some new talent, some pretty good talent. There seem to have been,
you can say that.
There seem to have been some question in terms of Yoshinobu, in terms of him tipping pitches. How did that ever turn out to be anything over there?
It's interesting because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony, but I think that there's a lot more of an emphasis on looking for pitchers tipping in the United States in Major League Baseball specifically than there might be in Japan. I read some of those comments when that first surfaced with Yamamoto, and I think it was the broadcast, the Dodgers broadcast, that picked it up. At this point, I wouldn't be concerned because, like, if you're catching it early like this, to me, it means that it's pretty easily corrected.
Yeah,
and I would think that he will correct that. I think the bigger story with Yamamoto right now is like he's been wowing people on the Dodgers like since the beginning. Like, it's the stuff, like the way that forcing fastball seems to ride, the darting action on that splitter, like how deceptive it is when he flips this 12-6 curveball at you like every once in a while. the efficiency of the delivery. Like, it's stunning that a guy that size, like, he is my size. I am not a big person, okay? He has basically what amounts to a slide step. The fact that he can generate that type of velocity with a delivery as efficient as his, that's what I think is the most impressive about Yamamoto so far. I can't wait to see him pitch against major league competition, because Mike Colaifenga with the Mets, I think he's going to be really good right away.
Mm.
Alden Gonzalez is with us from ESPN, talking some baseball here. And Alden, I was absolutely ecstatic to see a Dodger highlight clip yesterday, and maybe the day before. But it was a spring training game, and the guy on the other team hit a high pop-up into the infield between shortstop and second base. And Mookie Betts looked at Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux looked at Mookie Betts, and the ball just dropped right there on the infield. And Dave Roberts was flabbergasted to a certain point in the dugout. My point is, what is going to happen with this Dodger defense? I mean, Gavin Lux was supposed to be shortstop. He's gone to second. Can Mookie really get it done at short? Is that enough to short circuit a little bit of the, you know, the powerhouse that is the Dodgers?
It can be. I mean, look, right now it's a problem. It's not ideal. The Dodgers went into last season with, they were going to give Gavin Lux the runway to be their everyday shortstop. Remember, they passed on Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, and Carlos Correa, and on Dansby Swanson, because they were going to give the reins to Gavin Lux. I think what they've shown, though, is they're not messing around this year. Like, they're in it to win a championship. And you could say that to some extent about every year, but it's different now. You spend more than $1 billion on a couple of free agents, it's different. So the first sign that Gavin Lux was chucking throws and he wasn't accurate, they switched them. And to me, that's very telling. And it's also in some ways a little troubling. Like, look, not to discount anything from Mookie Betts, who's one of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. You can't just start playing shortstop, though. Like, will he be adequate at short? Sure. Is he going to be great there? I mean, I think it would be unfair to have any expectation like that. And yeah, there's some very serious concern on the Dodger infield right now. Max Muncy doesn't have the most range. Mookie Betts doesn't have any real experience at shortstop. You told him he was going to be playing second base. You had him prepare to play second base all off season through the early part of spring training. Now all of a sudden, okay, go to shortstop. I do wonder if they're probably trying to add a shortstop.
Yeah.
Would they be hesitant to do that so quickly? Because now you got to tell Mookie Betts again that he's switching to the other position. You don't want to mess with a star player like that. And look, Gavin Lux, like, every time Gavin Lux has throwing issues, they bring up, like, the potential yips. He said he doesn't have the yips. He said he's coming off ACL surgery. He's trying to get his feet under him, and it might be something of a mechanical thing. I can buy that. But I can also see how stuff like this can snowball on players. It's kind of a wait-and-see thing. The Dodgers might be so talented that they could overcome that, but it's not great. It's not what they wanted, and like it's kind of a rare instance where like their front office seems to be sort of caught on its heels here a little bit.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often. Alden Gonzalez joins us. Last one for me, Alden. The Padres did trade Juan Soto to the New York Yankees. He's having a monster spring so far. But it does seem like there's some of the old ghosts are still around in that camp. All of a sudden, Gerrit Cole needs an MRI. He's unlikely to pitch an opening day. You got Aaron Judge, who's still dealing with he just had a clean MRI, but he's still dealing with some aches and pains. I mean, is this team going to be able to stay healthy? I mean, I haven't heard anything about Giancarlo. I'm assuming he's been healthy so far this spring. Is this team going to be able to stay healthy? That seems to be the thing that bites them every single season.
And it's a legitimate concern, Tony, because when you're talking about just sort of like the ages of the players that they're relying so heavily on, like what more troubling news could there be at this state of camp that Gerrit Cole, who is their first, second, and third best starting pitcher in that rotation, is now, there's some concerns there. And Aaron Judge, too. I mean, don't forget that the makeup of this team going into the season, because you need to give Giancarlo Stanton all that DH time because you're paying him so much money, had Aaron Judge playing center field.
Right.
They needed Aaron Judge to be a quasi everyday center fielder for them in order to make it work with Verdugo and Soto and Stanton in the same lineup, which is their preference on both days. Aaron Judge, by the way, coming off turf toe, coming off that toe injury when he banged up against the wall at Dodger Stadium. Aaron Judge, the most important member of your lineup. He's what, 32 years old right now? Like, that's kind of a precarious position. And, like, he might end up being fine. But I think the news out of Yankee camp lets you know that for all the expectations they're carrying into this season, and people legitimately felt really good about their roster coming in, they are, it's just so fragile. Because if Gerrit Cole has to miss time, if Aaron Judge has to miss time, and you saw what their lineup looked like without Aaron Judge for such a time last year, it could all fall apart for them. It really could.
Real quick, Alden, I think we have a minute or so left, but is it possible that in the end, the Padres got so much pitching that they could almost win or even break even in the Juan Soto trade?
It is possible. I like the arms that they got. I think they feel good about the arms that they got. They're not going to win the Juan Soto trade in 2024. I can tell you that. If Juan Soto stays healthy, I expect him to contend for the MVP. And for as promising as the arms are in the Padres, for the Padres that the Padres got back, I have concerns about their rotation. I have concerns about who's going to lock down innings for them in 2024. You can't expect all those guys to be ready to make the jump to a big league rotation full time. They need starting pitching. But having said that, they did what they needed to do. If they weren't going to re-sign Juan Soto, they can't fit him in their payroll. If he wasn't going to be willing to stay in San Diego anyway, and they needed to get to their payroll to a certain point, and they had all these starting pitching holes that they needed to fill, I think if you evaluate it from that context, they did just fine. But in the immediate, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt every time you see Juan Soto winning player of the month or whatever he's going to do in a Yankee uniform this year.
Yep, no doubt about it. There might be some growing pains, but in the end, I think the Padres did what they had to do. Alden, appreciate you coming on, man.
That was Alden Gonzalez joining us a little bit earlier today. Thank you, Alden. And that was, if you didn't hear the beginning of that interview, it was kind of embarrassing because I texted Alden Gonzalez trying to see if he wanted to come on the show. And he was actually standing with Tony at the moment that I texted him, which is awkward because I usually say, like, depending on who the person is, I usually say, well, Tony asked me to reach out, or Chris asked me to reach out, or both of them asked me to reach out. Well, Tony didn't ask me to reach out, so kind of left him hanging. I did not know he was going to be hanging out with Alden Gonzalez this morning. All right, that's it for Gwen and Chris. Thank you so much for everyone joining us today. We are going to be back tomorrow, Chris and I. Maybe Chris will be in Las Vegas. Maybe he'll be back. If the Aztec women's basketball team wins, he's staying in Las Vegas, but we will still have lots of Gwen and Chris here for the rest of the week. But don't forget, Scraby Show is up next, and we'll hear, we're going to talk a lot more about Jackson Merrill. So stay there. I'll be back with you in about 5 minutes on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.